podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Huge. Huge moment to have this next guest join us on the show live from the States, but he's been to space. Captain Scott Kelly, he's bringing his show The Sky Is Not the Limit, Lessons from a Year in Space to Australia, from Up in the Sky to Up the Highway, Melbourne Palais Theatre, Friday, November 20. And we've got him on the line now to tell us all about it. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning.
We're saluting you. Is that appropriate?
I'm saluting you back.
Yes, cool.
But you don't have to.
So cool.
Not necessary.
No, don't be silly. I mean, spending a year in space is absolutely phenomenal. You just decided, hey, I want to be cooler than just being an astronaut. I want to, you know, set the sights on staying up there for a really long time. When you tell people you're an astronaut and you've been up there for so long, do you get free drinks?
Not regularly, but I think I have gotten a couple here and there over the years.
Do people believe you when you tell them what you do for a job?
I've never had anyone not believe me.
Okay. You've got but that astronaut look about you.
I know. I know there are people, though, that don't believe the Earth is round, so
yes.
Maybe they don't believe me.
Okay, what are your thoughts on flat earthers then? I'm guessing that they're crazy.
I think some of them think it's just funny and it's a big goof.
Yeah.
And the ones that really believe it, there's something going on there. I'm not sure what it is, but it's something.
Captain Scott, you spent so long up in space. What were the main sort of physical effects of being in zero gravity for that long?
It's interesting. I flew four times, and my flights just always got progressively longer from 8 days was my first, and then the second was 13, and then 154, and then 340 days. And the longer you stay in space, the worse you feel when you get back, from nausea and dizziness to I had swelling in my legs, rashes where anything my skin had touched anything. I lost 25% of my heart mass.
What?
While I was in space. Yeah. Good thing my wife says good thing I had a big heart already.
Oh, bless. One of the fun kind of studies that happened was the fact that you were up in space for so long, but your brother, Mark, your identical twin, who is also an astronaut, stayed on Earth. So was that kind of part of the study too, to be like, all right, we've got twins here, let's see how their hearts change?
Yeah, you know, it was a study where my brother was the control. He actually didn't work at NASA any longer when we did that. And, you know, the idea was us being genetically nearly identical as identical twins. There was a lot to learn, mostly anecdotal stuff, but NASA does these longitudinal studies where you get a bunch of data points over a period of time to make things more statistically significant. And, yeah, it was an interesting experiment with some really interesting results, actually.
Captain, did you knew that you were going to be up there for that long when you left, yeah, as opposed to Sonny and Butch, who got back a bit later than they thought they would last year?
Yeah, my flight was planned to be really long,
yeah,
which probably makes a difference. I know the guy who spent the longest time in space, Frank Rubio, was only planning to be up there for like 3 or 4 months, and he wound up spending well over a year. And I think that was challenging for him because he didn't have the same expectation I did that I was going to be there for a long time.
Yeah.
How do you get mentally prepared to be locked away in a tiny space away from everyone that you know and love for that long?
Yeah, you know, NASA does a really good job at having us talk to psychologists, psychiatrists leading up to a long duration flight, you know, trying to, you know, give us some skills we could use to cope in those kind of situations. You can stay pretty connected to your family. I mean, there's a phone on board, there's email. You actually continue the kind of the mental health thing throughout the mission. I had to talk to these guys every 2 weeks. Yeah, and the other thing, too, mostly I think a big factor is that they screen people for being able to do that kind of thing.
Of course, yeah. I imagine you're very busy work-wise up there as well, but what else do you do to keep yourself entertained? Did you just watch back the whole series of Friends or...?
You know, I've never watched many episodes of Friends.
Oh.
I thought it was funny, but I just never... I was more of a Seinfeld guy
yes!
back in that day.
Yes! Okay. We love but, that.
I think I binge-watched Breaking Bad a couple of times.
Yeah.
The whole series. And Game of Thrones. One of my crew members had never seen Game of Thrones before, so it was fun watching that. But you read books, you write, you're into art, you might draw or paint. I did a little painting.
Yeah.
Not well, but I painted in zero G.
I was just going to say, keep that in the paint in the actual pots. That'd be a challenge.
Actually, it's not, because there's this thing called surface tension. It's kind of like, imagine you dump some water on your hand, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And you turn your hand upside down. Despite gravity, your hand's still going to be wet, right?
Yeah.
That water is sticking through your hand by surface tension. So liquids, you know, if you liberate them, yeah, they'll float around in a ball, but they won't come out of a container by themselves.
Okay.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Captain, there's a lot of chat lately about aliens, a lot of things that have been released about unidentified flying objects. What is your take? Have you ever seen anything up there that you can tell us about?
I can tell you about everything I saw, and I never saw anything I couldn't tell you about.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I would love for aliens or visitors from another planet to be a thing. I think it would be incredible. It would be like the coolest thing humanity has ever discovered, right?
Yeah.
After fire, probably. But I've never seen any evidence. I was on a NASA study that was commissioned to look at this particular issue. And we saw a lot of interesting information. We heard interesting stories. We had believable accounts from people. But there was no hard evidence that you could use in like a scientific determination of whether life, especially intelligent life, actually visits this planet. I hope it's true. I've never seen any evidence of it.
Mm. Captain, wow. Captain Scott Kelly, your life is like a movie.
Yeah.
But speaking of, you know, maybe going further than, say, the moon or where the space station is at the moment, they're talking about putting a base on the moon so that then we can it can be easier to get onwards to Mars and that kind of thing. There's a lot of talk about that this week. What's your take on that? Do you think it's a doable thing? Is it possible for us to set up camp on the moon?
I think it is a great thing. I wish we were kind of a moon first, Mars later, space program years ago. I thought it was, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but it's easier than going to Mars. It's going to be a lot cheaper, and it will have incredible benefits for humanity, I think. Over the long term. So I'm very excited about that. And I think it's something we can achieve in the short term. You know, Mars is, you know, it's more challenging, a lot further away.
It's scary is what it is. Like, I just don't know how you're not just constantly scared up there, getting up there, coming back down to Earth. Just quickly, what's scarier, going up or coming down?
Huh. Well, on the space shuttle, we lost one going up and one coming down, and that was very unfortunate. So yeah. As far as the risk, it was kind of at least demonstrated risk similar. The Russian Soyuz that I flew on twice had similar accidents. I can tell you, though, launching on the space shuttle with the amount of energy involved and understanding that it's the most sophisticated vehicle ever built, is pretty, you're aware that you're doing something really risky. And coming back in a Russian Soyuz is like going over Niagara Falls in a barrel while you're on fire.
And as soon as
you realize you're not going to die, you're not scared anymore. It's like the most fun thing you've ever done.
Oh, Scott, we are just in love with you. We wish we could chat to you for so long. We can't, but people can. The sky is not the limit. Lessons from a year in space. You are coming to Melbourne at the Palais Theatre Friday, 20th of November, to chat to all of us and have these amazing stories on stage. We've got a couple of double passes to give away right now, 52232955. Captain, thank you so much for your time and all the best.
See you soon. See you in November.
Safe travels. We salute you.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.